Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love.
And health.
I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Life, Love, and Health. Tell me, what is your personal goal for consuming alcohol? Safer drinking? Reduce drinking or quitting? Well, three excellent choices, and our next guests are ready to meet you where you're at right now to discuss these possibilities. The book we're discussing is called How to Change Your Drinking, A Harm Reduction Guide to Alcohol. We're joined by author Ken Anderson. Good to have you here, Ken.
Well, thanks for having me here.
And Pat Denning, who wrote the introduction to How to Change Your Drinking. She's the director of the Harm Reduction Therapy Center in San Francisco. Pat, welcome to Life, Love, and Health.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here and glad to talk to you too, Ken.
First of all, for both of you, I really enjoyed the book, which is available from Amazon.com, and it's a great workbook. It's really fascinating. It's got solid, attainable strategies for safer drinking, reduced drinking, or quitting. And with this book in hand, you can track your progress and stay on course with various forms and worksheets. It's really well done, Ken. Nice work.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk about the book itself, and specifically in Chapter 2, how the HAMS approach works. First of all, what does HAMS stand for?
Well, the H stands for harm reduction. The A stands for abstinence from alcohol or drugs. The M stands for moderation, and the S stands for support. So it's a support group for people who want to make any positive change from safer drinking to reduced drinking to quitting altogether.
You know, HAMS does not have steps. Rather, it has 17 elements. Tell me, what's the difference?
Well, in steps, you're supposed to do them in a certain sequence, and you have to do all of them. And generally in AA, once you finish 12, you go back and start at 1 again and do them over and over. Our approach is to allow people to tailor their own program. So the 17 elements are all optional. None of them are required. You can do them in any order that you please. If you don't know where to start, they're kind of set up in a default order. So one is a good starting place if you don't know where to start.
You know, Pat, choices, we discussed that earlier. That's an important word, isn't it? As the more invested people are in changing their drinking, the greater their success. Is that the case, Pat?
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. And I think that people do best when they make their own goals. Mm-hmm. And they do best when they follow instructions that aren't so rigid that they don't make sense to them. And that's where the HAMS book really comes in with that, the flexibility of the approach.
Well, for example, the first element is do a cost-benefit analysis of your drinking. Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. In other words, what is it costing you, not only in terms of course, money, but emotionally and financially? Is that all part of it?
It is, and in the work that we do, we call it a decisional balance, which is the same as a cost-benefit. And the important thing about that is that we recognize that people get benefits from drinking as well as suffer harms. And in a lot of treatment programs, you're not allowed to talk about all the good things that alcohol does.
Well, you're not allowed to also have crosstalk.
Yes.
And I found that very frustrating at an Al-Anon meeting once, and I was called out on it because right. I foolishly didn't know the rules, and they jumped on me with
right.
with both feet.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is choose a drinking goal. Well, that sounds pretty reasonable. Safer drinking, reduced drinking, or quitting. So this is all part of a process to identify what the individual wants, and while simultaneously coming to a greater recognition of how drinking has perhaps caused harm in their own life and the lives of others. Is that a fair assessment?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it really is. And I think that, you know, one of the things that people are often worried about is that, oh, well, of course somebody's going to choose to keep drinking if they can. But what we find actually is that when people go through this kind of a process using these elements that Ken has put down, people come to a very reasonable choice. You know, a lot of people come to abstinence through this kind of a method because it lets them really see for themselves that it's the best choice for them.
Ken, what are your thoughts about number three? Learn about risk ranking and rank your risks. What does that mean for someone who is using the book, how to change your drinking?
This is one of the things that is the most innovative here that I haven't really seen before. But we ask people to think about what they're doing when they go out drinking. What kind of risks do you have? Do you drive when you drink? Do you get into fistfights in bars? Do you have unsafe sex? Make a list of these problem behaviors, and then there are many others, such as drunk dialing. Do you call your friends when you're drunk?
Right, drink and dial. Yes, or that's not a good thing to do.
Or do you call up your boss when you're drunk and tell him, you know, exactly what you think of him?
Yes, well, alcohol is known as a disinhibitor, and right. it allows, if you'll pardon the crude reference, for people to do things they would not do when they're sober.
So we ask people to write down the behaviors that they've been having problems with, and then to actually rank them. How bad of a problem is it? Now, if you call your friend up when you're drunk, and your friend's drinking too, and he doesn't care, maybe that's not a big problem. Maybe if you call up your boss when you're drunk and tell him, you know, he's an SOB, maybe that's a huge problem that you have to address. So we think people have to rank the risk for themselves and decide, you know, just how problematic this given behavior is.
Right. And that's Ken Anderson, who is the author of How to Change Your Drinking, and he is joined today by Pat Denning. Before we move along here, where can people get more information? I know folks are sitting in their cars and they're just about to go into the Kmart parking lot, and they would love to have a website address.
Well, the Harm Reduction Therapy Center's address is www.harmreductiontherapy.org.
And do you have an alternative, Ken, or will that work for everyone?
Our website is hamsnetwork.org. And I just wanted to mention, we have support groups there online as well that you can access when you go to hamsnetwork.org. You can find the book. There's a lot of information online. Actually, you could do the program completely with the information on the website, but the book is much more detailed and complete, so I think it's worth buying.
Do you mean, Ken, Pat, I don't have to go to a meeting?
No, you don't actually have to do any formal meetings. And the online access to the support groups is amazing.
And it's very anonymous, word is important to you.
Exactly. And people can use the book during some of those support groups, or they can just talk about their plans and where they are in the process. It's just an excellent resource.
In fact, that's a nice segue into number 5 of the 17 elements of HAMS: make a plan to achieve your drinking goal. Now, that's very reasonable and probably an excellent choice for a lot of people. What are your thoughts about that, Pat?
Well, one of the things the research shows is that if you don't have a plan, then your behavior is probably not going to change. And so the whole idea of planning, I'm going to a wedding, what's my plan? I'm going out with my friends on a Friday, what's my plan? How much do I intend to drink? Do I not want to drink? And what do I need to put in place so that if I say I'm not going to drink, that I can actually reach that goal?
There's not only a great deal of information about alcohol in the book, How to Change Your Drinking, and a number of charts that you can photocopy and put on the wall to, for example, track your drinking, mm-hmm. and perhaps establish goals of alcohol-free time. That's much different than what we traditionally hear in the culture about abstinence-only programs. Quit or die. That's not your strategy, is it, Pat?
No, it's not my strategy, because that's actually a very false dichotomy. It's not quit or die. That's a slightly hysterical viewpoint of things. People can and do make changes. And the thing is, with the all-or-nothing thinking, you have to make the change right now.
Or as the old saying goes, it's AA or the highway.
Right, exactly.
That's no choice. Well, it is a choice, yes, but...
It is a choice, but you know what happens then, Christopher, is that that people who don't want to quit end up not having any help at all.
Please stay with us through the break as Ken and Pat will discuss the advantages of perhaps drinking at home as a strategy, charting your drinks, that's right, keeping a list, or, hey, carrying condoms. Oh, yeah. There's a relationship between alcohol consumption and pregnancy. What a surprise. I'm Christopher Springman, and you're part of Life, Love, and Health.